chapter 2, text 44.
Bhogaisharya prasaktanam
Taya
parita chetasam Yavasayatmika buddhi
Samadhau
napatiyate
Bhogaisharya prasaktanam
Taya parita chetasam
Yavasayatmika buddhi
Samadhau navidhiyate Whoever has a book, can you share it?
Bhogaisharya prasaktanam
Bhogaisharya prasaktanam
Taya parita
Chitasha. Yabhutu Chetasam.
Yavasayatmika Buddhi.
Yavasayatmika Buddhi.
Samadhana Vidhiyate.
Samadhana Vidhiyate.
Bhogaisharya Prasaktanam.
Bhogaisharya Prasaktanam.
Tayabhutu Chetasam.
Tayabhutu Chetasam.
Yavasayatmika Buddhi.
Yavasayatmika Buddhi.
Samadhana
Vidhiyate.
Bhogaisharya Prasaktanam.
Bhogaisharya Prasaktanam.
Taya Prahurata Chetasam.
Taya Prahurata Chetasam.
Vyavasayatmika Buddhih.
Vyavasayatmika Buddhih.
Samadhana Vidhiyate.
Samadhana Vidhiyate. Bhogaisharya Prasaktanam. Taya Prahurata Chetasam. Yavasayatmika Buddhi.
Samadhana
Vidhiyate. Bhoga. To material enjoyment. Aishwarya. And opulence.
Prasaktanam.
For those who are attached. Saya.
By such things.
Aparita chetasam.
Bewildered in mind.
Vyavasaya.
Atmika.
Fixed in determination.
Buddhi.
Devotional service to the Lord.
Samadhau.
In the controlled mind. Na.
Never.
Vidhiyate.
Does take place.
In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says, Samyag adhiyate smin atmatatvayatatmyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyments and bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. Om Ajana Timirantasya Gyananjana Savakaya Chakshuran Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Prabhatantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavasya Shri Rupam Shadrajatam Sahagana Nagagatam Vitam Stam Siddhivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Kurehana Saditam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Sri Radha Krishna Bhagavan Sahagana Lalita Sri Krishna E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kansha Sapa Kansha Namostute Tata Kansha Golangi Radhe Vrindavan Shudani Krishna Pani Sute Devi Ramani Hari Priye Vancha Kotata Rupyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayavacha Pajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Let's get it right. One for Shivananda Prabhu, one for Nitya Singh. Vaishraya Prasaktanam Tilhaprita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadho Nabhidhyate Prasakta means exceedingly attached. Bhoga means sense enjoyment and Aisharya means opulence. And taya aparita, by those things taken away, chetasam, their consciousness is carried away by these things. Some sense enjoyment is required, some attachment is acceptable. One time I was in Detroit, I was traveling with Satsuru Maharaj and we were going to colleges. I said to Srila Prabhupada, it's so hard to convince the students to give up sense gratification. Prabhupada said, we don't say give up, but regulate. Just like we don't say no eating, but no meat eating, no only prasadam. Not no eating. One time, one of my godbrothers said to Srila Prabhupada, I'm so attached to my wife. Prabhupada said, that's all right. He said, that is through Krishna. Some attachment is normal. Later in Bhagavad Gita, Asakta Anavishvanga Putra Dara Grihadishu. Among the items of knowledge, one of them is to, as Prabhupada translates it, not to be more attached to wife and children and family than ordained in the revealed scriptures. In other words, some amount of attachment is normal. If you're not attached, how will things go on? But not prasakta, badly attached. Prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti navigeshu. The demons are madly attached. And because they're madly attached, they'll do anything for sense gratification. And so they glide down to hell. Of course, in the mature stage, one is meant to become completely detached. And that's called sannyas. Four stages are there. Brahmacharya ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyasa ashram. So, brahmacharya ashram is meant for learning
detachment and learning control of the senses. Householder life is a concession for attachment. Without attachment, why will we become householders? Some attachment must be there. But it's meant, again, for cultivating detachment. If I'm attached to my wife, then I'm not attached to all the other women out there. If I'm living in regulated life, then I'm not living in unregulated life. So from that point of view, the householder life is a dharmic arrangement for enabling us to become detached. Detached means more attached to Krishna. Just like the Vrajvasis, they're attached as husbands and wives, but their real attachment is to Krishna. When Brahma stole all the cows, calves, and cowherd boys, then Krishna was thinking, what to do if I go back to Vrindavan without the boys, without the calves? The cows and the parents of the boys will all go mad. So they'll die, because the children are the life of the household. So then Krishna expanded himself as all the calves and all the boys, exactly. So each boy was exactly the way he was supposed to be. Each calf had its own individual appropriate identity. But they weren't actually the boys and calves. They were all Krishna. So then the calves, when the calves came back, the cows were madly attached to their calves. Normally they were attached, that's all right. But now they became badly attached. And similarly, the parents of the boys, now they became madly attached to their children. The cowherd men were herding the calves on the top of one hill, and the cows were on the bottom, or the vice versa. The cows were on the top, and they broke free, because they were so keen on being with their calves that they just broke loose from the cowherd men. The cowherd men were all embarrassed. They couldn't control the cows. And the cows were running down. It's described that as if their feet were joined. You know, they were running like that. And then they got to the bottom and they're licking their calves and they're crying. And Balaram is seeing, what's going on here? This is not normal. Something's going on. It must be.
The cows had younger calves also.
Yeah, they had younger calves, but they're giving more attention to the older calves. This is not normal. So Balaram was thinking, it must be my brother is up to something again. So he inquired from Balaram, from Krishna, Krishna, what's going on? It seems to me that you must have expanded yourself as all of these cows and calves and boys. Otherwise, why are the parents going mad like this? And then Krishna explained, yes, actually, this is the situation. Brahma's stolen everyone, and I'm keeping things running in this way. So the point is that they had attachment for their boys, for their calves, but they were usually more attached to Krishna. All right, we're attached to our children, but we're more attached to this other child, Krishna. But now when Krishna became their child, they became more attached to their own children. So that means that the Krishna conscious person, he may have some attachment to his wife, to his children, to his family affairs. But his stronger attachment is to Krishna. Similarly, the wife, she has some attachment for her husband, but she has more attachment for Krishna. More attachment for Krishna. Because Krishna is the soul of the soul. We're attached to this body. Why are we attached to this body? It's because the soul is in the body. Otherwise, what is the use of, you know, who's attracted to a body without a soul? We're just going to dispose of it. But the body is attractive because the soul is there. So, similarly, the soul is attractive because Krishna is there. And Krishna is the soul of the soul. So the natural position of the soul is to be attached to Krishna. And the more he becomes attached to Krishna, the less that any attachment in this material world is of any ultimate importance, or the less it becomes a hindrance to spiritual progress. So in brahmacharya life, the detachment is taught. The boys are trained in detachment and attachment to Krishna. Similarly, in the grihastha ashram, where, as I said, there's some concession for attachment, but the cultivation is attachment to Krishna. That's the main thing. For both husband and wife to become more attached to Krishna and Krishna's service. Then vanaprastha ashram means, again, cultivating detachment very seriously, because this householder life will not go on forever. The attachment to Krishna is based on the soul. The soul is eternally related to Krishna, eternally attached to Krishna. And we're related to family members temporarily, for some time only, not forever. The separation will be enforced by the inflexible rule of time. And therefore, the vanaprastha, recognizing this, voluntarily detaches himself. Now I've built up this whole house, family, wife, children, grandchildren, everything is expanded. But I have to leave it all. And naturally, some attachment is there, and generally it becomes more than necessary. By the nature of embodied life, by the nature of this material world, it becomes more than required. And without some deliberate effort, we'll be stuck with this attachment. And therefore, the vanaprastha ashram is meant for winding down these things. In the former times, the vanaprasthas would go to the forest. Prithu Maharaj, along with his wife Archie, gave up their royal dress, gave up their kingdom, and went to the forest to practice severe austerities. Similarly, Rishabhdev Maharaj gave up everything, went to the forest, and so many that kings, other leaders of human society would leave home voluntarily and practice austerity for becoming detached from this material identification and becoming attached to Krishna. And then the, just like Srila Prabhupada, he was in family life. He had his wife, family. So he's going on. He has his work. He has his chemical business. He's seeing to the family affairs. But increasingly, he's leaving home.
He's going to Jhansi for preaching. He's going here and there for preaching. He's becoming more involved in those activities. And he's going out and coming back, going out and coming back. And finally, he doesn't come back. He goes to Vrindavan, for retired life, and sannyas, finally. And then he travels all over the world for our benefit. So this is the fourth stage, to completely give up the family relationship, family attachment, and dedicate the final years of life exclusively to Krishna's service. So this is the Vedic way, so that everything culminates in very serious attachment to Krishna. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, so that one's mind and intelligence become fixed in determination to serve Krishna. Vyavasaya is fixed in determination. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Samadhi, this is called samadhi, to be fixed in the service of the Lord. And the opposite is bhogaisharya prasaktana, to be mad after sense gratification. Tripyanti neha kripana bahutuka bhaja, to be mad after sense gratification, and therefore to bring upon oneself so many miseries. Bhoga means enjoyment. Just as we were discussing the other day, this Nalakubera and Manigriva, who were sons of Kubera, and therefore, as rich men's sons, became attached badly. A poor man, what does he have to become attached to? Maybe Prabhupada gave the example that, yes, even the poor man's attached. He saw some woman, I think, she was carrying some bundle of sticks, and you know, like, this is very serious business to hold on to those sticks. For us, what's a batch of sticks? But for her, this was important. So everyone's attached. But those who are wealthy generally have the tendency to become intoxicated. What is that? Janmai Sharya Shuta Shribhir Edaman Mata. If one is very beautiful, one becomes intoxicated. Mirror, mirror on the wall. If one is born in a high family, aristocratic family, one becomes puffed up. One lives on the hill. One is opulent. In this way, one is very well educated, then he's got a degree from such and such, and he gives his card, MA, PhD, LLD. One thinks, I'm so qualified. Handsome man, beautiful woman, becomes proud. Wealthy person becomes proud. So that is an obstacle. When the kings kidnapped by Jarasandha were released by Lord Krishna, they also expressed these things. You remember what they said, Shivam? I think your memory is very good for these things.
Yeah, it was a huge quantity of things. It's rich.
Not to me.
There was a large quantity of kings that Jarasandha imprisoned, and
they sent a messenger to Krishna, and the messenger explained that now they want to become attached to Krishna, and they were lamenting that they had engaged so many subjects in warfare against one another, and so many activities that a king usually does. And so then they actually prayed to Krishna, please come and get us. Now we're your devotees, so please come and rescue us.
Thank you. Which Krishna did. But it was already his mercy that they'd been imprisoned. While they were opulent, they weren't thinking in this way. But when they were in distress, then they were thinking, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, although he was naturally a devotee of Krishna, in the mature stage, when he was cursed to lose his life, he gave up everything. And that's when he met Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Bhagavatam was spoken. He was already a devotee from the very beginning of his life. But when those adverse circumstances appeared, he took the opportunity and immersed himself in hearing about Krishna from Srila Bhagavatam. Similarly, Vidura, he was also Krishna's devotee. But when there was some adverse circumstance, of course there were always adverse circumstances in that place, Hastinapur. He was surrounded by bad association. He was surrounded by bad association. But then it became particularly pungent that Duryodhana insulted him very rudely. Who asked him to come here? This dasi teacher, this son of a maidservant, this illegitimate bastard, who asked him to come here? He's just plotting against us. He should just be beaten within an inch of his life and thrown out.
Nothing but his breath.
Nothing but his breath. That's all that should be left to him. Vidura was actually the well-wisher of the whole family and was giving good advice to everyone, but good advice was perceived by Duryodhana as being against his interests because he was demonic. So, insulted in this way, although he was the genuine well-wisher of Dhritarashtra, the genuine well-wisher of everyone, he thought, thank you very much, Duryodhana. He took it as the opportunity. Now I have a good reason to get out of here. I was the prime minister, I had my duties, I was trying to be dutiful and see to the interests of the king, the interests of the throne, the interests of the kingdom. But now, who could expect me to stay? So it's very good, I'm getting out of here. He walked out, put his bow on the door, and took off. And that's how he later met Maitreya Muni, and again, received spiritual instructions. So that later he was able to come back and rescue his brother, Dhritarashtra, from his material attachment. And Dhritarashtra also, in the mature stage, left home and attained, at least in personal liberation, Hare Krishna. So these four stages are there, corresponding to the
natural course of one's life, in order that one may become increasingly attached to Krishna, so that one's whole life can be successful and culminate in serious unalloyed attachment to Krishna. So, bhogaisharya prasaktana, those who are prasakta, insanely attached, too much attached, intensely attached to sense enjoyment and aisharya, opulence, whose minds are carried away by these things. We can buy this, we can have this, we can have this. Vyavasayatmika buddhi samato navadhiyata. Because their minds, Krishna said that those whose minds are many branched can't fix their minds on me. And those who are attached to sense enjoyment, their branches are all over the place. They're rooted in sense enjoyment. So the indication here is that one should be careful and not become mad after sense gratification. Rather, one should become mad after Krishna. One time, Srila Prabhupada said, he was talking, I think, to his managers, you know, we have to see to this, we have to see to that. He said, but we shouldn't forget our real business, which is to become mad after Krishna. From that point of view, our whole movement is meant for creating madmen. Because Shamis became madmen. Hey Radhe Prajadevike Chalalite, hey Nanda Shunukuta, Sri Govardhana Kapapada Patale, Kalindivane Kuta, Goshantavati Sarvato Brajapure, Kedar Mahavivalo. They were going here in Vrindavan, going there, they're going, where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Radharani? There, are you on the bank of the Jamuna? Are you at Govardhan? Where are you? They're running all over Vrindavan. Where's Radharani? Where's Krishna? That means mad. Someone began running all around town here. Where's Radharani? Where's Krishna? Someone would call 911 and he'd be fucked up. So the Goshamis became like madmen, obsessed with Krishna. Of course, they devotee is sane. Goshamis were the most sane. They were writing so many books. They were using their time, not wasting a moment. Kalava sannikrita nidra ara vihara kali vidyata chakanta dhinna kopina kanta, all of these things. So they were the most intelligent, great scholars, great authors, great authorities in Vedic Shastra, learned men. But their real business was to be madly attached to Krishna. So probably said we should never forget our real business, which is to be mad after Krishna. Just like Rupa Goswami gives the example that a young boy is mad after a young girl. A young girl is mad after a young boy. Always thinking, always thinking, always thinking. From the adult point of view, it's crazy, you know. A young boy is mad after a young girl. It's the kind of madness. Someone said that love is like an hourglass. with the head emptying in proportion as the heart fills. Well, materially it's madness, just like that girl. Some man was attached to her and wanted to meet her and enjoy her. She said, yes, you come after a few days and you can enjoy. And then for those few days, she constantly took laxatives and purgatives and passed loose stool and vomited everything she ate. And collected those nice ingredients in pots. Then the man came back. I have an appointment with this beautiful girl. He saw some wretched looking, haggard woman. I have an appointment with this beautiful girl. I'm that beautiful girl. No, you can't be that beautiful girl. No, here's the ring you gave me. But I've kept my beauty for you. Separately. I've distilled the essence of my beauty for you. So she brought him to that place where all the pots were. Here it is, buddy. You want all this beauty? You've got it. Liquid beauty. So, someone who's attached to those pots, the ingredients found in those pots, is a madman. But Krishna is Sachidananda Vigraha. And therefore, one who's mad after Krishna is actually the most sane. Any questions so far?
So this verse, Maharaj, for a materialist who has not tasted devotional service, if he is excessively attached, so he won't get into the devotional service. Mm. But sometimes we see karma mishra bhaktas who are excessively attached. Sometimes we see karma mishra bhaktas like demigods who are excessively attached, and we have some examples like Lord Indra, you know, trying to do all those things, even against Krishna. So does this verse mean that those excessively attached karma mishra bhaktas will never get into pure devotional service?
Not as long as they're karma mishra bhaktas. But it's not that because they're karma mishra bhaktas, they have to stay karma mishra bhaktas. That's what Prabhupada called naked mother logic. Your mother was naked when she was a child, so she always has to be naked. And that's not good logic. So the karma mishra bhakta, actually he can't develop this, he can't have this exclusive attachment to Krishna, because he's standing in two platforms. He's got his foot in two boats. On the one side, he wants to become Krishna conscious. On the other side, he wants to enjoy sense gratification in this material world. So he's divided against himself. I mean, that divided position, he doesn't have Ananya Bhakti, pure devotional service. Ananya Chaita Satitam Yomam Smriti Nityasam Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nityuk Tasya Yogam. For the person who's exclusively attached to Krishna, Krishna says, I'm easy to reach. Because he's always engaged. But for the person who's divided,
He wants to be Krishna conscious and he wants to enjoy this material world. It's more difficult. That's our problem. We're still attached to karma, we're still attached to jnana. We're still attached to Vayabhava. And how will we come to the attachment for Krishna? And therefore, we have to be purified. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And we need to undertake some method of discipline. A person who, just like our Gita Nagari Das, maybe some of you know Gita Nagari Das, he fell in a well and broke his everything, his legs. And he was so crippled that he couldn't walk at all. And he was, anyway, they stitched him back together again. And over a long process, he's gradually, now he can, he's walking on the Appalachian Trail, actually, hiking. But for quite some time, he was wearing weights on his ankles. Heavy weights, because the physiotherapist prescribed that you need to have this extra weight so that your muscles will regain their strength. Because otherwise you'll be crippled. You won't be able to walk. So some inconvenience you will have to undergo, some discipline you will have to undergo, in order to be fully functional. So for those of us who are attached to karma, who are attached to jnana, who are still residents of this material world by our own misuse of independence, the spiritual master prescribes some discipline. Know this. No gambling, no intoxicants, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And positively, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And the whole program, association of devotees, reading the books, so many activities, so that we can be freed from karma, freed from jnana. Cultivation of mundane things. That's the process that the person who's the third class devotee, by following the instructions of the spiritual master, gradually becomes a second class devotee and first class devotee. He starts with a little faith, then he associates with the devotees, then he takes up the process under the guidance of the spiritual master. Then the unwanted things within the heart are cleansed away. Then he develops strong faith, attachment, finally taste, ecstasy, and love for Krishna. So there's a process. We may be in mixed devotional service, we may be in attachment, but there's a process to come to the right point. And one should very seriously take up that process. The other things don't deserve our serious attention. There are so many things. I should qualify that. There are so many things we have to do, and we have to give them our attention. We have to be serious. Otherwise, everything falls apart. But we always have to remember that our real business is to become attached to Krishna. And by following the process, first in brahmacharya life, then grihastha life, then retired life, then renounced life, and in each stage, making it our business to cultivate Krishna consciousness, by this process one can become
successful. Is that okay? Anything else? Shall we read another verse? How are we doing on time? Maybe we can read another verse.
Trigunya Vishaya Veda.
Trigunya Vishaya Veda.
Nistrigunyo Pavarjuna.
Nistrigunyo Pavarjuna.
Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto.
Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto.
Niryoga Kshima Atmaman.
Niryoga Kshima Atmaman.
Trigunya Vishaya Veda.
Trigunya Vishaya Veda.
Nistrigunyo Pavarjuna.
Nistrigunyo Pavarjuna.
Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto.
Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasto.
Niryoga Kshema Atmavan.
Niryoga Kshema Atmavan.
Trigunya.
Trigunya.
Pertaining to the three modes of material nature.
Pertaining to the three modes of material nature.
Vishaya,
Vishaya,
on the subject matter,
on the subject matter.
Vedaha,
Vedaha,
Vedic literatures,
Nistrigunya,
Nistrigunya, transcendental to the three modes of material nature,
Pava,
Be,
Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
Nirdvandvaha,
without duality,
Nityasattvastaha,
in a pure state of spiritual existence,
Niryogakshemaha,
free from ideas of gain and protection.
Atmavan,
established in the self. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. Purport. All material activities involve actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. They are meant for fruitive results, which cause bondage in the material world. The Vedas deal mostly with fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to a position on the transcendental plane. Arjuna, as a student and friend of Lord Krishna, is advised to raise himself to the transcendental position of Vedanta philosophy, where in the beginning there is Brahmajigyasa, or questions on the supreme transcendence. All the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom advising how to live and get rid of the material entanglement. When the activities for sense gratification, namely the Karmakanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads, which are part of different Vedas, as the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata. The Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities such as happiness and distress, or cold and warmth. And by tolerating such dualities, become free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas have three divisions. The Karmakanda, the Jnanakanda, and the Upasanakanda. The Karmakanda is the lowest stage, dealing with how to be happy in this material world, either on this planet or on heavenly planets, some program for enjoyment under rules and regulations. Without Vedic direction, one just goes whole hog for sense gratification and becomes a hog in the next life. But when one is directed by the Vedas, one is within regulation for human advancement, so that he can satisfy his desires, but gradually be directed to the next stage, which is Jnanakanda, or cultivation of knowledge. So the Lord Krishna wants to direct Arjuna in that direction. Don't be simply attached to happiness and goodness, happiness and passion, happiness and ignorance. Nistragunyobhavarjuna, come to the transcendental platform. So the Upanishads are not directing us toward fruitive activities. Upanishads are meant for brahma-jigyasa, spiritual inquiry. And therefore, they're more important. And the essence of the Upanishads is found in this Gita Upanishad, the Bhagavad Gita. To study all of the Vedic knowledge will be will not do it. There's so many men, Dwivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi, and they're all Nirvedi. He may be Chaturvedi, he hasn't even read Bhagavad Gita, what to speak of Chaturvedi. But the Vedas are meant, we were discussing yesterday, for understanding Krishna. So gradually, one is meant to go beyond the field of sense gratification to the life of cultivating a serious spiritual inquiry, brahma-jigyasa. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the source of everything? What is the purpose of my life? These are the real questions for the human being. Otherwise, the animals also have sense gratification. They're also busy with family affairs, with sense enjoyment, with playing. These squirrels are also playing, having a good time. The human life is the opportunity to inquire about spiritual realization and to achieve spiritual realization, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So, Nistragunya, come to the transcendental platform near Dvandva, above the dualities of this material world. What is that? Bhagavad Gita. Pajante mam jatavata. What is the beginning? No. Bhagavad Gita. Yesham shantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam.
Te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante nam dhritavita. Therefore, we, where the spiritual master requires an initiation, give up intoxicants, give up meat eating, give up illicit sex, give up gambling. Antakatam papa, no more sinful activities. These are the pillars of sinful life. And Prabhupada used to say, if you pull down pillars, then the building collapses. The building is the building of sinful activities. And when the pillars are dragged out, then the whole thing is finished. So the spiritual master orders and the disciple agrees to give up these sinful activities. And punyakarmana, to be engaged in pious activities or spiritual activities. And the result is dvandva moha nirmukta. He becomes freed from these dualities and freed from illusion. Dvandva moha nirmukta. And that's not all right now, like the Maya body is now. I know I'm not this body, I'm freed from duality. Everything is one. That's all right, but there's a higher stage. Bhajante maham dhritavrita. When one is actually on that spiritual platform, then the next program, post-liberated stage, is to engage in the service of Krishna. Now that I'm beyond material duality, then I have to come to this spiritual platform, ekanta bhakti, vyavasayatmika bhuti, to be fully engaged body, mind, and soul in the service of Krishna. And then one doesn't have to worry about one's protection, about one's necessities. Yoga kshema bhamya. What is that? Ananyas chintiyanto mam yejana prayupasate tesham nitya priyuktanam yoga kshema bhamya. Krishna says, when someone is fully engaged in my service, I provide everything he needs. I supply protection. He doesn't have to depend on any life insurance company. Krishna will guarantee his eternal life. Yoga kshema bhamya. So this is the conclusion: to surrender to Krishna, or to be progressively engaged more and more seriously in Krishna's service, so that our life will be successful. Any other comments or questions?
Mm-hmm. What is the service of Krishna? Basically, when you say service of Krishna,
what is the service of Krishna?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Service of Krishna comes in 9 divisions to hear about Krishna. Just as we're sitting and hearing from Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing in the association of Krishna devotees, and kirtana, to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, or to speak about Krishna, or to spread knowledge of Krishna consciousness. We have so many books. Srila Prabhupada was staying up at night and writing so many books. So we can assist Srila Prabhupada by distributing these books. That's kirtana. That's big kirtana. It's not that only Prabhupada could do kirtana and the rest of us have to stand by and not do anything. Even in householder life, we can do this kirtana. I just came from Philadelphia, and the devotees there, they're also largely Indian community, and they became inspired about distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And I just saw the newsletter, they're now number 9 among temples in North America for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And none of them are full-time, they're all working people. But they're excited.
about distributing these books. And that's what happens when you get a little inspiration to by reading the books and by cultivating Krishna consciousness, and then you get some association with devotees who are enthusiastic for spreading Krishna consciousness, then it rubs off, and we want to spread Krishna consciousness. So they've organized their affairs in such a way that they can all go out on the weekends and distribute Prabhupada's books. So that's kirtan. That's kirtan. And smaranam, by hearing about Krishna and glorifying Krishna, then we'll also think of Krishna. That's counted as service. The mind is engaged in service. Madhusevanam, to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Archanam, to worship the deity, just like here the deity is here in the home. Next door, they have no deity. Their senses are the deities. They have five deities. More than five. 10. Well, 11. Yeah, the mind is deity number one. But here, Radha Krishna have been placed at the center of the home. So they're the enjoyers, and everyone else is the servant of Krishna. So that's archana. And vandanam, to offer prayers to Krishna. Dasyam, to carry out the orders of Krishna. Satyam, to become Krishna's friend. And atmanivedanam, to surrender oneself fully to the service of the Lord. So all of these services are carried out under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. And the spiritual master is considered the manifest representative of Krishna. So by serving the spiritual master, one is serving Krishna. We all, Prabhupada's disciples, join Krishna consciousness movement. What did we know about serving Krishna? But our spiritual master engaged us. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Don't do this, stupid. You do this. Stupid wasn't his word, rascal. Don't do this, rascal. Do this. So under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, we were engaged in this way, this way, this way, this way. And that was as good as service to Krishna. Or the spiritual master is always engaged in the service of Krishna. So we were engaged as the servants of the servants for serving Krishna. Or Srila Prabhupada used to say that he was serving his spiritual master. So servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That's the process for serving Krishna. Not directly to try to become Krishna's servant. Krishna says, who is this? What is he? Who does he think he is? But when we become the servant of the servant, then Krishna becomes interested. Krishna says in Adi Purana, the person who says he's my servant is not actually my servant. And the person who becomes the servant of the servant, he is my servant.
Is it not true everybody's Atma is picks up as Krishna?
Everyone's Atma is connected to Krishna, but the problem is that everyone's Atma in this material world is diseased. That's the problem. Otherwise, in our natural constitutional position, every one of us is servant of Krishna. But then why aren't we serving Krishna? Every one of us is a servant of Krishna, but what am I doing? I'm going to the club, I'm going to the golf course, I'm going to the cinema, I'm buying a 178-inch VCR screen for the service of Krishna. So many things I'm doing that have nothing to do with the service of Krishna. So if I'm a servant of Krishna, why am I doing these things? It's because my consciousness has become contaminated by material contact, by contact with the three modes of nature in lifetime after lifetime. And therefore, a reformation of consciousness, a cleansing of consciousness has to take place. And therefore, we need to act under the direct. I gave the example that Arjuna Nagari does. Hey, everybody knows how to walk. Walking is normal. Why do every kid learns how to walk? But in his diseased condition, or in his broken condition, he couldn't walk properly. So then he had to come under the direction of the physiotherapist. No, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Now he's walking like a normal person. So we're all servants of Krishna, but we've forgotten that we're servants of Krishna. And by acting under the direction of the spiritual master, being engaged in devotional service through the spiritual master, we become reconnected with Krishna. This is the process. Yes. Quite right.
We need a spiritual master. If we can understand what is said here, and if we are intelligent enough to know what to do or not to do in life, and how to reach God, and how to serve God and all that. So nobody has yet convinced me yet.
Okay.
To my satisfaction, why I need a spiritual master? Why can't I just talk to God directly? Why do I need a medium?
If Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita, he's speaking to everyone, open, secret. So why do you need a spiritual master? Why should any of us accept a spiritual master when we can simply read Bhagavad Gita and hear from Krishna directly?
Not just Bhagavad Gita.
But so many. I can understand Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, so many books. But why do I need a spiritual master? So please turn to chapter 4, text 34. So you've told. So now you can open the book and tell me what you find. So please read it out loud. Tad viti pranipatena pariprasnena.
It's page 220 in this book. 220.
Yeah.
220. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master.
I don't. It's serious business. Yes. So if we read Bhagavad Gita and hear from Krishna directly, then Krishna is telling us, approach a spiritual master. So if I want to get the benefit of Bhagavad Gita, then I have to follow Krishna's direction.
But what if I consider Krishna himself as a spiritual master?
Then why is Krishna saying, approach a spiritual master?
I don't know.
Yes.
No,
Because we don't, we'll read, but we won't understand. Tad vigyanartam sa gurum eva abhigacchet. Yes, everyone can read and get the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That's a fact. But there are two things. Gyan and vigyan. Gyan means knowledge. And the book is there, we're distributing. You can go to the library or to the bookstore. You can get knowledge. We're distributing the book for that purpose, so that people will get knowledge. But then there's something else, which is called vigyan. Vigyan means realized knowledge or applied knowledge. For that, tad vigyanartam sa guru meva abhigachet. Gachet is imperative, one must. Not one might, one may. Eva, certainly, gachet. One must approach the spiritual master. If one wants vigyanartam, the benefit of realization. What is realization? Just like there's a recipe, and anyone can read the recipe and cook the item. But when you learn under the direction of a very qualified cook, then you really learn how to cook the item. Right? It's a matter of, yeah, it's interpretation. I pick up the recipe and I say, well, I think maybe a little like this, or maybe a little like that, or do it this, or this, this, or this. If I don't have this, I can substitute that. But when I learn under the very expert cook, then I don't have to interpret. She says, chop this, I chop that. She says, put this, I put that. She says, steam this, fry that. Not like this, like this. And then I learn. Or surgery. There was a very good essay by one surgeon talking about how a surgeon learns. And he was an experienced surgeon, and he was telling how he began. And he read everything, and then when he actually had to do it, he forgot this crucial step. And the person who was watching him said, no, you forgot this. Yes. Then he has to insert the needle, and he knew how to do it because he'd read the book, but the needle's not quite going. Then the senior surgeon is showing, no, you have to go under and down. Now he can do it blindfolded because he's learned under an experienced senior physician. So Krishna is telling us that yes, you can read the book, but if you want vigyan, if you want to actually be able to apply this knowledge, then the spiritual master's direction is required. And then the benefit is described in the next verse. You can read the next verse, 35.
I think just a little question here. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just wondering, how do you know that you found your spiritual master?
That we come to. But first, we're going to get the benefit because she asked what was the reason.
Having obtained clear knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living things are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine.
Yes. When we come under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, that will become established as a fact. Not just a theoretical knowledge. We approach so many people, and if they're Indian, they say, yes, yes, I am knowing Krishna. But they don't know. They don't know, it's just a show. They know business, they know money, they know how to buy things for their family, but they don't know even how to chant Hare Krishna. Where if you ask them, what is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita, they don't know. I think this, I think this, I think this, I think this. But when one is properly trained under the guidance of the pure devotee, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one comes to know. Vigyanartha. It becomes applied knowledge. His life transforms. His, what is that? It's Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. He actually becomes realized in the science of Krishna. He understands Krishna factually. And therefore he becomes liberated from material existence. Otherwise we can read Bhagavad Gita, we can have a general understanding, we can... Even there are great professors. I mean, we think we know Bhagavad Gita. There are professors who know... They know Bhagavad Gita, they know Upanishads, they know this, they know that. They can... Expert in Sanskrit, they can read the texts. And they can't give up smoking, they can't give up woman hunting, they can't give up drinking. They don't even have an interest in giving those things up. But they're great scholars of Bhagavad Gita. They haven't taken the process. They haven't taken the discipline. So if we want to reach Krishna, factually, if we factually want to get the goal of Krishna realization, then we have to follow the instruction of Krishna, given in Bhagavad Gita. We have to enter the school. Prabhupada gave the example that anyone can just go to the college. I did it myself. You can go to college to a college and sit in the classes. And you can get knowledge. But you're not really a student. When you pay your money and you sit for the exams and you go through the whole process, then you're a student, then you get your degree, then you can apply for a job. Otherwise, you're an auditor, a sit-in. So Krishna is advising us that if we seriously want to get the benefit that he describes in that next verse, then this is the process to approach a spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master. Is that okay? Correct. It's common sense, as you said.
Yeah.
If I want to learn cooking, I need a cooking guru. If I want to learn music, I go to a music guru. If I want to learn surgery, I go to the surgery guru. And if I want to become self-realized, then I do it on my own. Not like that. No, I know you're not saying that. You're saying that it's common sense that I should then approach the experienced person, and you're right. That is the conclusion.
That is always sharing something. See, everybody can make children, for example. But there are some people who can make that very easily and also most tasteful.
Yes.
They know the tricks. They have learned. So that's what you are talking about.
Yes.
Realize that.
Yes.
I also understand that.
Yes.
Sri Ram had guru to go through.
Yeah, even Sri Ram accepts a guru. Even Krishna accepts a guru.
Yeah.
Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a guru. Then they're showing us that this is the method. They're all taking this process. Even Krishna himself is accepting Sandipani Muni as guru. So what to speak of us? So yes, you've understood rightly. Thank you. Then you had a question. How do you know who's guru?
Yeah,
so that's answered in the next part of the verse. Tad vijnanartham sa guru meva Abhigachche, Samitpani, Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam. The Shastra is explaining that who is Guru? First thing is Shrotriyam. Shrotriyam means that he's hearing, he's heard through the Parampara system. Just as Krishna is telling Arjuna, Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan amapyam vivashan manave praha manurik shakave prahi. I spoke this science to Vivashan, the solar deity, he spoke to his son, Manu. Manu spoke to Ikshaku, and it was coming down in this parampara method to the Rajarshis, and it was understood in that way. So they're all Shrotriyas. They're all engaged in this process of Shrotriyam, hearing from someone who's heard, from someone who's heard, from someone who's heard, from someone. So coming in the parampara system, evam parampara praptam, imam rajarshi. So the first qualification, the bona fide spiritual master must have heard the science from a bona fide spiritual master who's coming in the parampara line. That's the first thing. He's heard the message. Then brahmanishta. Brahma means the absolute truth, or the personality of God. Nishta. Nishta means he has firm faith. Nishta. Shraddha means initial faith. Nishta. Firm faith in the message of Krishna. Otherwise, I mentioned, scholars are reading Bhagavad Gita. They have their parampara. But they don't become brahmanishta. They don't develop firm faith in Krishna. They don't even develop an interest in Krishna. But when one has come in the line of pure devotees and has followed the orders of the spiritual master obediently, with dedication, then he becomes brahmanishta. He develops firm faith in the message of Krishna or the service of Krishna. Then what is the practical manifestation? He's always engaged in that way. We see someone who's always engaged in sense gratification, or he's always engaged in mental speculation. And he's not the person. The person who's always engaged in Krishna service. Is that okay? Anything else? Yes?
Oftentimes, when I'm reading the purports in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada uses the phrase in full Krishna consciousness.
Full Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, he uses it a lot. And what exactly does he mean by that? Because it seems to preface whatever he's talking about.
Full Krishna consciousness means, what is this phrase that Prabhupada uses in full Krishna consciousness? Yeah, I'm repeating that he's asking that Srila Prabhupada uses this phrase in full Krishna consciousness. So what does he mean by in full Krishna consciousness? So we can take it anya vilasha tu shunyam jnana karma adyana avritam anakulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutam. Full Krishna consciousness means unalloyed Krishna consciousness, not mixed, not karma mishra bhakti, not kama mishra bhakti, not something other than pure devotional service. Why are we not in full Krishna consciousness? Because we're partly in some other consciousness. Partly in sense gratification consciousness, partly in mental speculation consciousness. But when one is fully in Krishna consciousness, anya vilashita shunya, all the other stuff has been made to zero. That's full. Just like on a scale, you have 50 kgs here and 50 kgs there. But when you take the 50 kgs from that side and put it all on this side, then the other side is zero. And this side is 100%, like that. All our energy invested in the service of Krishna. Or, taking it another way, smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam rachatajaya. There are two rules that he has become perfect in following. Always to remember Krishna and never to forget Krishna. Is that okay? Anything else? maybe I'll, maybe I'll show you just some, very briefly, what we've been up to in Africa. I'm responsible for BBT in Africa. We have a team of devotees who are there. And we're focusing especially on publishing books in African languages. These are different. This one's on the way to Krishna. One is in Zulu language, one is in Xhosa language, another is in Mauritius Creole language. Similarly, this is Beyond Birth and Death. One is in Zulu, one is in Xhosa. This one is... This is Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, also in Xhosa language. This is Setswana language, spoken in Botswana, just above South Africa. This is Introduction to Bhagavad Gita. And this is also, let's see which language I'm in. And this is Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers in Zulu language. So Prabhupada wanted his books published in as many languages, as many books in as many languages. And Africa is a good place for that because they have 2,100 languages. Some of the big languages are, three main languages are English, French, and Arabic. Then you come to Swahili, Yoruba, and other languages. So we have a big project. The Bible, I'm told, is in about 800 African languages. So we have a lot of publishing to do, and we have a very nice team, and they're busy.